is good to see everyone here this morning. As always, it's good to be in God's house. I do want to go ahead and apologize to some. Yes, I did want a snow day and ask for a snow day. So to those who don't like snow, I apologize. Don't blame it on me. Okay, my one this year. Now it is good to be here with everybody this morning. As always, it's good to be in God's house, and we're looking forward to what the Lord has for us this morning. And we've already worshipped Him in song, and now we get to worship Him through the reading of His Word, the reading of His Scripture, and applying that to our lives as we seek to serve Him better. Last week we began a sermon series entitled "New Year, New You." Tools for strengthening your spiritual growth in the new year. We talked about how the New Year's time is a time where everybody is geared towards maybe looking at physical health, and the gyms are packed and everybody's doing new things. But we also asked the question, how, if that is as important as it is in our life, and we are to take care of our bodies, how much more important should our spiritual health be? How much more should we grow in our spiritual walk and our strength with Him, in our daily walk with Him? How much emphasis should we put on that? And we learned that it ought to be vital for us and important to us to grow in our strength and in our walk with Christ. And so we're looking at tools and things that we can use in the new year that can strengthen our walk with Christ. This morning, if you have your Bible, and I hope that you do, if you'll turn with me to James chapter 5. James chapter 5, we're going to look at one verse this morning, verse 16, and it's really going to be kind of the launching point for the rest of the sermon. And we're going to be bouncing around. I hope that your fingers have thawed out from the cold this morning, because we're going to be all over God's Word this morning, because I really want to take a look at what does the Bible say about prayer. How important is prayer in the life of a Christian? Last week we started, I said it was going to be a short sermon series entitled The New Year, New You, maybe a couple sermons based upon, and I was going to try to pack a couple different tools in each sermon, and so we could get through it and move back to John. That was my original intention. But as I began to kind of study, God continued to lay more and more on my heart. We may be here for a couple of weeks looking at how we can grow in our spiritual faith. And so what I had set out for a couple of weeks has now turned into, we may do one tool each week, according to, because I really want to dive into how do we use these, how do we strengthen them, what are they, and I really want to take a deep look at what God's Word says about them. Last week we looked at the first tool of growing our spiritual faith, and that being God's Word. We saw last week how valuable God's Word is in the life of a Christian. It is the foundational truth that we must grow upon. And during our journey this year and during our journey in the rest of our life, what we ought to come back to every time is God's Word. It is inerrant. It is authoritative. It is inspired by Him. It is God's Word. It is the foundation of our growth. If we don't have the foundation right, then we don't grow. What it says we ought to do is the truth. And so this morning, we're going to move on from that foundational tool and God's Word, and we're going to move to what I would think is right up there as just as important, and that is the tool of prayer. Would you read with me this morning, James chapter 5 and verse 16. It says this, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Would you pray with me this morning? Father, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, we thank You for the opportunity we have to come before Your throne to lift up our voices to You. Father, I pray that as we look over the next few weeks to strengthen our spiritual life, to strengthen our walk with you, Father, I pray this morning that not only would we be convicted and understand the importance of your word, but that we would also understand the importance of prayer in the life of a Christian. Lord, I pray that we would seek to live out a life that is grounded in communication with you. Father, teach us today from your word. Speak to our hearts. Father, I pray that it would not be my words nor my wisdom, but yours and yours alone. Father, we lift you up and we seek you in all that we do. Father, move us in your path today. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. How grounded is your life in prayer? How often do you spend in a normal day praying? There was a statistic that I looked up that said this, that more than half of Americans, somewhere roughly around 55%, say that they pray every day. And the news site that was putting this up here that said that 55% of Americans pray every day was touting that as a high number. They were like, that's good, that's great. But then I began to kind of look at it. And I began to kind of wonder, if somewhere around 60 to 70% of Americans say that they are religious and Christian, that's what they identify as, why is it that only 55% of people say they pray every day? And it began to kind of worry me. The rest of the survey went on to say that 23% of the people surveyed said that they prayed weekly or monthly. And another 20% said they didn't pray at all. The Bible tells us very clearly in this one verse, James chapter 5, verse 16, that the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The Bible tells us that prayer is an effective tool in the hands of a Christian. But prayer is so often misused, misunderstood in the life of a Christian. We're quick as Christians to fight and to stand up for the right to pray before events, but we don't practice it in our own lives. We're disciplined enough to make sure that our kids know that we pray before bedtime and we pray before meals, but we don't live out lives that exemplify that to our kids. Prayer is often misunderstood and misused. The Bible demonstrates prayer corporately often in the life of Jesus and throughout the entirety of God's Word. Prayer corporately is shown over and over and over again. Jesus did it. The disciples did it. But the Bible also says that prayer is a very personal building block in your life. I asked this question to myself, and I want to ask it to you this morning. If someone were to watch you for 2 to 3 days, if they were to watch every move that you made and every thought that you had, I want to ask this, would they describe you as a person of prayer? Would they say that is someone whose life is grounded in prayer? Or would they say, you know, I did see him pray. It was before meals and before bedtime. If someone watched you, what would they say? The early church devoted themselves to prayer. In Acts, it tells us that the disciples devoted their lives to the teaching of God's word and to prayer. And I want you to look what was going on at that time in the lives of of the church and really the Christian faith as it was beginning to grow, those who believed in Christ, I don't think that it's a coincidence that the disciples' lives was grounded in prayer, and then there were 2,000 to 3,000 people coming to know the Lord and be baptized and place their faith in Him. Prayer is an effective tool in the life of a Christian. The Bible tells us the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The early church devoted themselves. They were connected to God in such a deep way through their prayer lives. If we want to strengthen our walk, it's got to be grounded in God's Word, but it has to be connected in prayer. I begin to think of, as I kind of said that, you know, I begin to kind of think of electrical circuits, and I deal with a little bit of that in class. I don't have a great understanding of it. I know how to wire things, but I know there's a ground plug or a ground wire that you have to make sure it's connected, and that grounds the circuit and makes sure that everything is right. But it does absolutely no good if we don't connect it to the power source, the hot wire that's bringing the electricity in. And I began to kind of think of that, and I began to kind of think the ground wire, the ground prong on that switch or whatever it may be is God's Word. It is our foundation. It is the truth that we build upon. But what brings the power in our life is a life that is spent on our knees in prayer to God. Prayer is a time, we're given an example in the Lord's Prayer. Prayer is a time of acknowledging who God is. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. It is a time of confession and repenting from sins. It is a time of giving thanks to God. It is a time of bringing our needs and our burdens in our heart before the throne room of God and pouring out our hearts to Him. Prayer is simply this. It is a face-to-face communication with the Lord. And I want you to understand something. This isn't a conversation with God that just takes place like through a telephone wire. This is coming before the throne room of God and pouring out your heart. It is a face-to-face meeting with Him. You are entering in before His glory to offer up your heart to Him. It is a time, I love this, prayer is a time to lift your voice and your heart and your soul before the Lord, and it is also a time to be still and know that He is God. But in order for us to understand this tool, I want us to examine it a little bit more in God's Word to see what God's Word says about prayer. So my heart today is to look into God's truth and see what it says about prayer. And we're going to start right here in the verse that we're in James chapter 5, verse 16. And the first point I want to give you this morning is prayer is powerful. Prayer is powerful. He says in verse 16, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The idea behind the word effective, this is a little bit of a confusing idea, but the idea behind the original word was an energetic, heartfelt prayer. One that understood it was coming before the throne room of God to lift up its voice. We don't deserve the opportunity. We haven't earned the opportunity, but it has been granted to us by the blood of Jesus Christ to come before the throne of God to lift up our voice. He says the effective, the energetic, the heartfelt, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Prayer is a powerful tool in the life of a Christian. We are bringing our heart and our burdens to an almighty God. And do you know what the Bible says? Through Him, all things are possible. I think of the instance we spoke of this morning in our prayer request. I think of the virus and the things that have been going through in the life of people, and I can think that those people I know had a ton of people praying for them. I think of Amy Lee's dad. And the amount of people who have stopped us and said, hey, we're praying for you. We're praying for your family. And look at what God can do. Prayer is a powerful tool in the life of a Christian. It is a powerful tool in the life of a church. Over and over again in the Bible, we see God's people lifting up their true heart in prayer to Him, and God moves in a tremendous fashion on their behalf. We cannot ignore that true, fervent prayer, prayer that is focused on Him, that is pouring out our heart, that is energetic. We cannot ignore that that type of prayer makes a difference in the life of people. I'll give you this. Is there someone on your heart right now that you know without a shadow of a doubt, because of the fruit in their life, that they are not saved? Here's what I'm going to challenge you in. Pray for them. Pray for them. Your words may not be able to change their heart, but God can. Why is prayer so powerful? It is so powerful because we are taking our burdens out of our hands and putting them into the almighty hands of God. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 says this, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek and you will find me." He begins to say, when you call out, I hear. Prayer is powerful. God is glorified through answered prayer. And He will accomplish His will in answered prayer. Prayer is a powerful tool. But how often do we truly use it? Not only is prayer a powerful tool in the life of a Christian, number two, prayer was exemplified by Christ. Christ's own life was set out the example of prayer in the life of even Christ. Luke chapter 5, verse 16 says this, "So He Himself," talking about Christ, "often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed." Christ made a habit. It was important for Him early in the morning to get away, get by Himself, and to pray. He prayed in groups. He prayed alone. He prayed over the children as they came to Him. You can see that in Luke as well. He prayed in the good times, and He prayed in the bad times. Before His tempting by the devil, after He had fasted and spent time in prayer, He was then tempted by the devil. In the three ways that we looked at a few weeks ago. And you wonder, how was He able to fight back that temptation to not sin, to not give in to the lies of the devil? Because He spent time connected to God in prayer. The night before He was betrayed, or the night that He was betrayed in the garden, what was He doing beforehand? He was praying. Christ set out the example of a life that was grounded in prayer. And if He thinks it's important, why do we not think it's important? If He made a habit out of praying, how much more should we make a habit out of praying? Suddenly, when you look at the example that Christ set out and His life that was grounded in prayer and knowing that He devoted Himself to prayer, as the verse says in Luke chapter 5, verse 16, knowing that He devoted His life to prayer, suddenly the mere presence of a prayer before a meal or bedtime doesn't seem like it stacks up. I'm not telling you not to pray before meals and bedtimes, but what I'm telling you is our life ought to be more grounded and connected to God through prayer than just those times. We are grounded in God's word. We are connected to Him by prayer. It is communication with God. Christ set the example for us to follow. And it is only because of Christ and His sacrifice on the cross that we have that connection. Why do you have electricity in your home? Why do you have electricity in your home? Was it because just somehow magically it showed up from the power pole to your house and runs through your house? Or was it because somebody laid the groundwork for that to be done and those wires to be run through your house? Christ made the way for us to communicate with God. And when He was here on this earth, He lived out a life that was based in prayer. The good times, the bad, the alone times, the times in groups. He spent His life in prayer. And our life ought to be grounded and connected in prayer. If we're going to use the powerful tool, we need to follow the example of Christ and make it a priority in our life. But not only that, not only was it exemplified or shown to us in the life of Christ, not only do we know that it is a powerful tool, but the Bible tells us in Psalms that prayer is a source of strength in our lives. I want you, if you can, very quickly with me, turn back to Psalms chapter 145. Psalms chapter 145, I want to read some verses to you this morning. We're going to start in verse 18. Of chapter 145, because I want to read this verse to you. And I want you to think of your deepest, darkest time in your life. You may be going through a trial right now. You may be going through a hard circumstance right now. And I want you to listen to this verse because it is a source of strength. The Lord is near to all who call upon His name. To all who call upon Him. To all who call upon Him in truth. He will fulfill the desires of those who fear Him. He will also hear their cry and save them. You see, it doesn't matter what's going on in your life today, if you want to find strength, spend some time in prayer because God's word says He hears us when we call. The Lord is near to those who call upon Him. There is no greater strength that you can tap into as a Christian than to go to the presence of the Lord and know that He hears you and He is near. Prayer is a source of strength in the life of a Christian. We wonder why there are so many weak Christians in churches. It is because their life is not connected to God in prayer. There is a closeness of God when you come to Him to communicate with Him in prayer. I want to ask one question, and I want you to think about it. What is the role of speaking or communicating with a friend? What does it do? Does communicating with a friend and talking through something with a friend or just sharing an idea or sharing a burden, what does that do to their friendship? Does it destroy the friendship or does it bring the friendship closer together? Every instance I've ever been in where there's been a real true communication, even if it's in a source of disagreement, but when there is true communication, you're listening, you're talking, you're taking in the other's perspective, the only thing I have ever seen is that grow a friendship together. It is a source of strength. It is a tie that binds that friendship together. And it does the same thing in the life of a Christian with God. When we're connected to Him in prayer, it grows us closer to Him. That's why the Bible says, draw closer to God and He will draw closer to you. That is what happens. It is encouraging. It is a source of strength in the life of a Christian. Psalms chapter 18, verse 6 says this, in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from His temple, and my cry came before Him, even to His ears. Isn't it encouraging to know, church, that you go before a heavenly, almighty God, and He hears your voice? He cares for your burdens. He wants to know your heart. Prayer is a source of strength in our lives. It ought to be a source of strength in our lives. Not just in the bad times, but in the good times. You know, we're quick to go to God when things are looking bad, but how quick are we to go to Him to give Him the credit, the praise, the honor, the glory when things are going good? God, I just want to thank You for the blessings that I have in my life. It is powerful. It was shown to us in the life of Christ. It is a source of strength. Prayer is also, number four, prayer is a great guard in our life. It is a great guard in our life. As I've already said, Jesus made it a priority to pray. And he was praying and had been fasting and praying for some time before He was tempted by the devil. I want you to flip from Psalms, flip back to Matthew with me very quickly. I told you we were going to be all over the Bible this morning. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. This is the prayer in the garden. As Christ is talking to the disciples and He's waking them back up, He says in verse 41, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Prayer is a great way to go to God and say, God, I need You to guard my heart, guard my mind and my thoughts, guard my actions, guard my eyes, guard my steps. Everything I do, protect me so that I can glorify You. It is a great way and a great guard in our life. Even in the Lord's Prayer, think about what Christ said. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me. Prayer is a great way to set a guard around you. I have gotten into the habit over the past couple weeks as the new year has kind of been rolling through. Every morning, I ask God for a few things. Guard my heart. Guard my mind. Guard my actions. Guard my lips so that I say what I'm supposed to say. So that I think what I'm supposed to think. It is a great guard. We should be asking God to guard our hearts, our minds, our eyes, our lips, our thoughts, everything about our life, our steps, where we go, what we do. Why? Because at the end of this verse, He says, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is so weak. We need a guard. We need strength. So not only is prayer a great guard, not only is prayer a great source of strength, not only was it exemplified by Christ, not only is it a powerful tool, but last but not least this morning, prayer is encouraged over and over and over again in God's Word. Prayer is encouraged by God's Word. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says this, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. We are encouraged as Christians to live a life that is based in prayer. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 says this, continue earnestly in prayer. Be vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Live a life that, as 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. We are encouraged, exhorted, taught, guided by God's Word to live a life that is grounded in prayer, prayer that happens continuously. Brother Ryan, does that mean I need to close my eyes and bow my head when I'm driving my car talking to God? No, please don't do that. If you are going to do that, call me and let me know so I'm not on the road with you. But it is a constant communication with God. Every moment of every day. And can I tell you something? Somebody here, and I've even been at this point in my own walk. You know, Brother Ryan, I'm no good at praying. I don't have the eloquent prayer than the words to say that really get my heart. And you know, it doesn't matter the words you say. It doesn't matter how eloquently you can put words together. Y'all have heard me preach now for 4 or 5 years, and you know I stumble over my words every so often. Well, at least once or twice in a sermon. Amy Lee says that when I'm reading, sometimes I add words or put words here or there, and it just shows up sometimes. It doesn't matter what you say. I've even found out that some of my best prayer times, I didn't say a word at all. I just listened. But it's that constant connection to God through a life of prayer. Pray without ceasing. Communication, as I've always said, is a two-way street. There's times where we have to lift up our voice to God and we let our heart and our burdens be known, but there's also a time that we are still and we are listening and we know that He is God. So my simple question to you in this, if we're going to use this tool correctly, if we're going to strengthen our walk, where does your prayer life stand? Is it your source of strength? Is it the powerful tool that you pick up to use to change people's lives? Is it something that you pray for people and you pray for things continuously? Do you use it to guard your heart? And have you devoted yourself to it? Here's the other thing I really, really like. And I love about God's character. You may say, well, Brother Ryan, I haven't. It's not my guard. It's not my strength. I don't pray like I should. I don't devote myself to it like God's Word encourages me to, like Christ set the example out. And here's what I have to tell you. It doesn't matter what you've done in the past. Because God's offering forgiveness. He wants to put us on the right road. He wants to send us down the right path. It can start today. We can devote our life to prayer now and move forward. Forgetting the things that are in the past, forgetting our shortcomings in the past, and dedicating ourselves now to a life of prayer. And I'll be honest with you, it starts now. It's not I'll wait and do that when I get home and I walk out the door. No, it starts now. Because let me just be honest with you for a second. If we can't do it here, there's no way we can do it out there. if we can't make it a habit here, like the Bible says, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is so weak. So our invitation is simple this morning. If you can and you would like to, this altar is open. The idea of an altar is coming before God and pouring out our hearts, sacrificing the things that need to be done away with. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to seek you in prayer. Father, we are so blessed with the opportunity that not only do we have the chance to come to you to lift up our voice, but that you hear our voice and you care and you love us and you want what is best for us. Father, I pray that we would tap into the power of prayer in our life, that we would seek you. Father, I pray that we would make the commitment right now. Father, I pray that we would see an outpouring and a moving of your spirit during this time of invitation. Lord, we love you and we thank you for all that you've done for us. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen.